You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. ESPN 97.5.
KFNC 97.9 HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce.
This is it. The final hurrah. Dell is out. Will Kunkel filling in for the final day this week? Been in all week from 10 to noon. Shout out to Dell, my man. Thank you again for letting me do this. He'll be back next week in full force, no doubt about it. Talking soccer, talking Miami Dolphins, whatever the hell else is wherever else his heart lies. I'm Will Kunkel again. Find me on YouTube. Kicking It with Kunkel is my channel. Become a subscriber. Become a member. Get locked in as we have a huge week. A huge week of Texans football coming up. Every game since the bye week has kind of been their biggest game of the season. And that's what happens when you go down 0-3 on the year and you lose the first three games of the season. Your offense looks really bad, basically from training camp. There's a lot of negativity surrounding the building. It takes a lot of energy to overcome that, so ignore that, and now to get to the situation and the place where they are. And, of course, they did a whole bunch of winning without C.J. Stroud, their franchise quarterback. They did it with Davis Mills. And, interestingly enough, I've been calling out people. Like, I've been waiting for people to call into the show and text into the show. All the people that were screaming for Davis Mills to be your starting quarterback going forward. To be the new quarterback of the Houston Texans. I've said the number is 713-780-3776. And not a single person, not a single person has called in or texted in trying to defend their former position that Davis Mills should be the starting quarterback for your Houston Texans. You know why? Because they've kind of wisened up. They've smartened up. Part of me hates the conversation because even giving it any sort of air is stupid because it's a dumb conversation if you understand the game, if you understand the Texans, if you understand where the Texans have suffered and why they've suffered and why they struggled early on in the season. At no point was the reason that they suffered because of the quarterback. It was way more fundamental and way more foundational than it being the quarterback. It was the offensive coordinator. It was the offensive line. I mean, let's think about this, y'all. Laken Tomlinson was a starter in 7 games this season. He played in 10 games for your Houston Texans. He was one of your best linemen, according to the coaching staff and the evaluations taking place. And now they just cut him? He's no longer on the team? Like, that's how valuable he was? That's how off, though, the evaluation was. So C.J. Stroud's overcoming all of that, trying to play through all of that. And everybody wants to make an excuse. Everybody's got a problem and blames everything on C.J. when it's really not even his problem. It's not his fault. He's trying to overcome so much. And then when it comes down to Davis Mills, the excuses fly. Imagine if your quarterback C.J. Stroud had 36 total yards in the second half against the Bills. You'd want his head. You'd be furious. But that's what Davis Mills' offense put up against the Bills, and everybody wants Davis Mills to be the quarterback because the team's winning. But why is the team winning? Is there correlation with Davis Mills being the starting quarterback, or is there causation with him being the starting quarterback? Are they winning because of Davis Mills being the starting quarterback for your Houston Texans and getting big-time wins against the good teams? No. There's no causation. The correlation is that he's starting and they're winning, but the causation is because of your defense. This is a defensive-led team with an offense that is now providing some help. They are no longer that heavy anchor holding this boat back from moving. The powerful engine is the defense. They are strong. They are powerful. They are the best in the NFL. And now that you got C.J. Stroud back, we saw that offense look a little bit better against the Colts. There's still some things that C.J. himself will admit to working through. Like, he's got to stand a little bit taller in the pocket. That's a lot easier said than done, especially when the offensive line has betrayed him essentially for a year and a half. For a year and a half, this isn't exactly oranges to oranges or apples to apples, but if you're a significant other, he's cheating on you relentlessly. You start to believe that's who they are. That's what they do. They're just not trustworthy. Well, when C.J. Stroud gets sacked the most times in the NFL last year, and then it carries on into this year, and it's kind of the same old type of issues, and he can't stand tall because mentally he knows he's going to get his teeth knocked out. Like, it's hard to stand tall and just take punishment, like, every single snap. I mean, there were games where he was getting pressured 50-plus percent of the time. And now, against the Colts, he had some clean pockets, and people are like, what the hell, man? I'm telling you, C.J. ain't it. Well, hold on. He's got to build that trust with this offensive line. This is just the second time this season they've started this offensive line. So that begs the question, as I've stated all year long, it's the coaching decisions, it's the malpractice on the offensive side of the ball and the evaluations of the offensive line. Lakin Tomlinson no longer on this roster, yet he started 7 games, played in 10 games. City So, I mean, I can't even, like, say his name without laughing. And I don't mean to be rude. I don't mean to be disrespectful to Mr. So. I genuinely don't. But if you're in the front office or if you're on the coaching staff and you make the decision to start City So midweek because, quote, you liked what you saw in practice and we're trying to find the best unit, yet your decision was so flawed and so errant that that experiment lasted 9 plays. It didn't last a half. And then, all right, we'll go back to Juice Scruggs. Like, okay, whatever, whichever one. It doesn't really matter at this point. We'll just kind of split the reps. That wasn't the case. It was such a poor evaluation. It was such a poor decision that City So didn't even last 10 plays. Lasted 9 plays. And now Lakin Tomlinson's gone. So I say all that to say there was a moment yesterday, and I actually don't think I sent you this, Sean, about the soundbite of C.J. Stroud talking about throwing under pressure. I actually, now that I've set this up, I realize that's not one of the soundbites I told you to cut. So what I will tell you is what happened. I actually prayed for C.J. in the middle of this conversation of that while he was at podium because I was nervous of what his answer was going to be because his stats throwing under pressure now are fantastic. And now whether it's because he's just simply gotten better at it or because he's gotten used to it, I prayed when he was asked, like, why he's gotten better at throwing under pressure, I prayed, like, please don't say because I've gotten used to it. Because I didn't want him to say that and throw his offensive line under the bus after all of a sudden the offensive line had themselves a good game. He's completed 60.3% of his passes when under pressure this season. That is second highest in the NFL, and it's the highest rate of his young career. You can't ask for anything more than that to be second best in the NFL when you're pressured under pressure 60% of the time you're throwing, you're under pressure and you're completing 60% of your passes. So he just kind of equated it to now finally the offensive line is doing their job. But here is the sound that I did ask Sean Mapes to cut, and I asked CJ, why now? is this offensive line having success? And I know that the answer is that this unit's playing well together, but like, why are we now in week 14 and we now are figuring out the offensive line and who should play, who shouldn't even be on the roster? Like, why? So here's what CJ said.
A lot of talent, I would say, I guess. You know, a lot of guys finally, you know, getting the offense, getting the scheme. Got some guys who, you know, have some experience up there. So just a multitude of those things. And, you know, I think Tay's really settled in, you know, knowing how he wants to play and, you know, how to play in the NFL is a little different than college. I think he's done a good job at that. And then, you know, the rest of the guys have been solid all year, you know, and plugging and playing. Titus, you know, I think he's having a Pro Bowl year in every position he's been playing. And so, you know, Big Trent coming in there doing his thing. And then, you know, Ed, you know, coming back off injury, you know, doing really well up there, moving guys, has some crazy blocks. And then, you know, Jake, you know, being super great with communication and then, you know, working to tail off each play to, you know, get his job done. So I think it's a multitude of effort, you know, talent, and then, you know, experience. And I think that's why they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I think now they have some talent on the offensive line. But doesn't that make you pause and be like, well, this talent was in the room already. All these bodies were in the room. They've been on the roster. Why is it taking the brightest minds in the game to get to this answer now? Why did we have to sacrifice CJ's head? Why did we have to sacrifice the first three games of the season in order to get to this point? Which again brings me to my point of what I've brought up a couple times. If you took preseason a little bit more seriously, and I don't know if that's logistically reasonable, and it's feasible, it's possible you can play your guys more, but is that realistic? Would that ever happen? Would anybody ever actually play their guys in preseason enough to hit the ground running truly and fully in the regular season? You know, who knows? But why did it take this long? These guys weren't picked up off the street. No one was traded. All these guys were in this locker room to start. And I don't have the answer to that, but the answer is pretty clear in the actions of your Houston Texans. The roster was flawed to start the season. They didn't have a lack. They had a severe lack of talent. They didn't have good offensive linemen to start the year. So you wonder why C.J. Stroud's not screaming at his offensive line. What's he going to do? What's he going to yell at them? Suck less, suck so much more less than you're sucking at the moment. They don't have the ability. It's not an inability to understand what to do. They know what to do. They couldn't do it. Now they can do it. Now they're doing their job. Now they're giving CJ Stroud that time. And it was a light years of difference in that Colts game. The pressure rate was much better. CJ Stroud had much more pockets. And now this offense is starting to click, but they've got to get better in the red zone. They have to be better because not only is the competition going to get tougher once you get to the playoffs, if you get to the playoffs, and sure, you can survive with whatever type of offense you have and just rely on your defense and be good enough on offense once you play the Cardinals and Raiders, but that's not going to fly this weekend. Not an Arrowhead, not against the Chiefs who are fighting for their lives, not at the 6-6. Like this. This matchup I love on paper, and I'm starting to sway a little bit on who I might pick. On the Swarmcast, I made a prediction. At the end of today's show, I'll make my prediction again. Right now, it's Texans plus 3.5 is the spread in Vegas. But there's a lot, just a little foreshadow, if you will. There's a lot of injuries on the offensive line for the Chiefs. So I really want to see that injury report for the Chiefs coming out of today. I won't get the injury report before the show is over and we're off air, unfortunately. But if they're hurt, and it may not matter about that Mahomes magic or the Chiefs magic or their Arrowhead aura, that all might be just us creating headlines and conversation and barbershop talk. It may not be reality because, again, listen, at the end of the day, yes, Spags is a great defensive coordinator, and Andy Reid has a hell of a mind. But there's only so much smoke and mirrors you can really pull if your offensive line is allowing Patrick Mahomes to get crushed by Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Like, you got to block those dudes, or else plays, no matter how genius they are by Andy Reid, will not develop. And then, If you're able to get off, stay on the field with as the offense, you start controlling this game, you start winning these games. And if you win against the Chiefs, Chiefs are likely out of the playoffs, and then the Texans set themselves up nicely to win the AFC South. Which, by the way, Joe George and I broke down on the Swarmcast. I think, and I think he did it really well, in saying that if you're a Texans fan, you're rooting for the Colts to win over the Jags. And you want the Colts to sweep the Jaguars because the Colts have a tougher schedule. Like, the Jaguars play the Jets and the Titans outside of the Colts. So you assume they're going to get those wins. If you're the Colts, they play the Seahawks, Broncos, and I'm doing this all off the top of my head. This is how often I've looked at the schedule, by the way. Like, talk about no life. This is my life. I bleed Houston Texans radio, talk radio shows. I think so. They play the Broncos, Seahawks, and then somebody else, but Jaguars twice.
That's pretty good off the top of your head.
Not bad, eh?
Yeah. Swarm mentality that you're bringing to relentless radio.
Relentless. So the idea of me saying that is that the Colts actually have a better chance of losing out outside of the Jaguars. So you want the Colts to essentially eliminate the Jaguars and then lose out. But this is also the situation we're in, man. Unfortunately, we're going to look back at two games. One of the first three games, I don't care, you pick which one, the Darion Gumbawale fumble against the Rams, the Nico Collins fumble against the Jaguars, the late comeback by the Buccaneers, one of those games, or really in particular that Jags game. I think you can double down on that Jags game, maybe doing you in, probably not for a playoff spot, but doing you in to win the AFC South. Because if they had split with the Jaguars, then like you're in big-time business because they got an extra L. They've got a fewer win, and they no longer earn that tiebreaker. Would they own the tiebreaker? I guess there's so much to kind of learn about common yeah. opponents and what the winning percentage would be.
Yeah, it's hard to tell right now. But, you know, if you would have beat them in Jacksonville, you yeah. would have the tiebreaker. We wouldn't need to know the second tiebreaker.
Exactly. And that's when we're going to really, like, kind of look back on the season and say, damn, we just squandered such an opportunity to be in charge. And the Texans are a good enough team to where they really should be in charge, but they're not in charge because the way the season started.
So the second tiebreaker, if head-to-head doesn't, right. you know, give you one, is best...
Common opponents winning percentage, right?
No, it's win-loss percentage in games within division. Oh, so it's, the division win-loss.
Okay, so you kind of have... So, all right. Let so if the Colts
AFC South
are in it, of course that final game is going to mean the world. And then I think Joe George broke it down the best way on Swarmcast, honestly, is that you want the Colts to essentially eliminate the Jaguars, and then you need the Colts to lose out, and then you need to take care of your own business.
Yeah, and the Texans right now, 4-1 inside the division. So they're sitting pretty good with their division record.
Thank God they took care of the Titans.
Yeah. Jags, Colts, both 2-1 in the division. But obviously, they play each other. So that's going to change.
Someone says within the chat, if we can pressure Mahomes enough, he will hopefully start throwing picks. I don't think he's going to just start throwing picks. This is not really his M.O.
He's not going to turn into J.J. McCarthy.
No, he's not going to just throw the ball away. But I will say he will... He'll take sacks, like he'll start running around like crazy and just, not have the magic necessarily. But I think the defensively, your attack is very similar to what you did against the Bills. You can't over pressure on the outside and allow Mahomes to step up in the pocket. You got to pressure, but then you got to stop your rush and not over pursue. That's what you got to do on the outside. And you got to really contain Mahomes because while he's not a running quarterback, he's certainly a play extender and scrambler. And his ability to manipulate the pocket and have the pocket do what he wants it to do in order to extend that play is second to none. I mean, he's the best in the NFL, if not the best to ever do it. So the Texans are going to have to rush him, yes, obviously, but they have to do it very disciplined, and they have to get him on the ground. They have to force turnovers and put their offense in position to where they have short fields. And then when they have short fields, they
got to get in the end zone. They've got to score touchdowns because they had a couple times against the Bills. Actually, the Texans offense never crossed midfield in the second half of the Bills game. The only time they were in Bills territory was off of that fumble recovery, which led to a field goal. Couldn't even score a touchdown after that.
Did they go backwards on that field goal possession?
You know what? They did at a point, but I think they ultimately gained like a couple yards.
Yeah.
I know,
the first two plays, just boom,
yes,
backwards.
Yes. And I was like, oh my God, here we go.
Yeah. It's like, don't take a sack, please, Davis.
Yeah, seriously. It was like, now, please, Davis, do not take that sack. For real. No, I don't think they did, but it was like they gained like 7 yards. I mean, it was another waste of an offensive possession. But C.J. Stroud playing some damn good football. This team way better with him as your starting quarterback. But having said that, C.J. Stroud has not thrown a touchdown pass in each of his last two starts, the first such string of consecutive starts in his career. So is that a C.J. Stroud problem? Like, if you watch these games and you're not the national media, the answer is not. It is not a C.J. Stroud problem. We know that the problems on offense are much bigger than that and foundational than that, with the inability to run the ball in between the tackles and the inability to get guys open, the play calling, the blocking at times, albeit better against the Colts. Like, it's just things like that. But he threw for 276 yards last week. I mean, that's far more than Davis Mills was able to do against the Bills. You want to take a break here, Mapes? Yeah, why not? Sure, all right. Will Kunkel filling in for Dell on the Dell Olalea Show here on ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. I'm going to need you guys to chime in. I need you guys to call in. Let me know what you think about anything in life, really. 713-780-3776. We'll be right back.
ESPN 97.5.
What is this?
This is Pearl Jam.
Never really got a Pearl Jam.
Really?
So everyone that's not watching, this there's what's called a windscreen on a microphone. This thing smells so bad. I think I just pinpointed it. So I had this. I don't want to my peas though without it.
Yeah.
It smells horrendous. It is. Yeah. What does Lance do to that thing?
God, I mean, he eats directly into the mic, basically. Not really on purpose. It's just whenever there's food, we'll just eat on mic. So, yeah, there might be a little Taqueria Sarandas residue in there.
Man, maybe I should.
Maybe swap it out with the one next to you, the one that doesn't get used as much.
Yeah, I mean, I think I might. Do you think I need to have it on the mic?
I mean, you don't have to, but.
Let's see.
It's a little better.
It smells not as bad.
Yeah. Not fresh, but just not as bad.
Well, heavens, no. Of course not fresh. Nothing in here is fresh. Fresh. That's rich.
Except these takes. Hot off the presses.
Hot takes. Hot, fresh takes. All right, welcome back to the Dell Olalea Show. Will Kunkel filling in here on ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5, live on Kicking It with Kunkel on the channel as well. Become a subscriber. Find me there. You can find me on all the social medias as I'll be covering the Texans throughout the rest of the season, as I always have been. And, of course, Rockets, too, who, by the way, got another win last night. Didn't hit the over for those of you that were interested in that. Back to this Texans-Chiefs game. That's obviously the topic of conversation today. And this game, as every game from here on out for the Texans, is going to be won because of their defense. And, yeah, we talk a lot about the guys up front, and rightfully so. That's where this team is built. Because when the Texans can play with a lead, watch out. That's when this roster can really shine. That's when this defense can go out there and play the way they want to play, and they can dictate the terms even more. I mean, they can dictate terms when they don't have the lead because they're just that good. But when they have the lead, they can really get after the pass rusher, and then the corners can jump routes, the safeties can make a couple gambles and start to, you know, get interceptions. But I want to talk about the corners, because Kamari Lassiter and Derek Stingley Jr., name a duo in the NFL that's better. I don't think that there's one that's really that close, especially with Patrick Surtain out for the Broncos. But I don't think there's anybody. Like, I genuinely think – now, Kamari's only in his second year. Derek Stingley's an all-pro. These guys are going to have to do it for longer to become one of the best duos in NFL history. But assuming like this assumption is huge in NFL and sports today, but if they stay healthy and stay together, they could be top five best cornerback duos in the history of the game. I mean, that's how good they've been so far. Now, can they maintain what they've done? Like, it's all a bunch of what-ifs. I understand all that. But what they've done so far is the best in the NFL this season, and I don't think it's really even all that close. Kamari Lassiter has spent 217.9 seconds in tight coverage, which is less than 1 yard of separation this season. That's sixth most in the NFL. Then on the other side, you have Derek Stingley Jr., who hasn't allowed a catch, I don't believe, in 86 pass covers this season so far, or in a row, in 86 straight. These guys take away half the field all the time. And when you have two guys taking away half the field, that means the entire field's taken away from your quarterback outside the hash marks or wherever these guys go. And they don't usually follow guys. You know, Kamari plays one side, Derek Stingley plays another side, and that's kind of the way they've played this season, which if it works for them, cool. I do not need y'all to be following players. I need you to do what works best for this team within this system. Stingley has also allowed a 45.5 completion rate when targeted over the last two seasons. 45.5 completion rate when targeted. That is the lowest among quarterbacks in that span. Both of these guys, predominantly, like I was saying, they play sides. Stingley aligns on the left side on 82% of the snaps, and Lassiter on the right side, just about 73% of the snaps. And then Stingley will travel into slot just like 7 times. So these guys are on the outside. But Lassiter has the ability to play on the inside a little bit more. He's done it on 42 snaps. That's about 6% of the snaps that he's played. These guys are awesome. And when you the Chiefs have speed, they don't have great wide receivers. Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy. Someone in the chat asked, what's the plan for Travis Kelce? Is it Jalen Petrie? I think, yes, that's the plan. I'm not overly worried about Travis Kelce really hurting the Texans. I'm worried about him not on the big play, but on the important play, on third downs, keeping the chains moving, things like that. That stat I was looking for, Stingley has now not allowed a reception, not a single catch in his last 81 coverage snaps. This is a league where guys throw the ball all the time, 45-some-odd passes a game. He's been in 81 coverage snaps and has now not allowed a single catch in 81 straight coverage snaps. It's wild. We're actually going to get a buddy of mine, Rob Collins, who covers the Chiefs out in Kansas City, to jump on the show sometime after 11. We just got that confirmed. So, Mapes, I'll send you his number. We'll talk about the Chiefs, because we got to figure out what's going on with the offensive line for the Chiefs. They are extremely banged up. And then on the other side, you worry about Chris Jones if you're the offensive line for the Texans, and a guy's always a game wrecker. You can never take him out, but he's not had a very good season at all. I'm not counting him out because you don't want to do that, but he's generated a pressure rate of 8.8% this season. That's the lowest pressure rate he's had since 2018 by 3%, and the lowest among the Chiefs defenders with at least 150 pass rushes. So he's not even one of the best pass rushers on the Chiefs this season. He's recorded a quick pressure rate of just 3.8%, his lowest across any season since 2018 as well. But I love Sting and Kamari. They can shut down any offense, no matter who the quarterback is. Here's D'Amico Ryans talking about what Kamari Lassiter means to this team, not only in coverage, but his ability and desire. His desire to hit and mash is second to none.
Kamari is one of the, hands down, one of the best corners in this league when it comes to playing physical. Right? It comes to stepping up in the run game. You want to see a corner tackle? Go watch Kamari's tape. For any corners that want to learn how to tackle, young corners, go watch Kamari Lassiter. Go watch him tackle. Go watch him take on blocks. Like, there isn't a better corner in the league when it comes to the physical presence that he provides to a defense. There is not a better guy than Kamari.
Have you heard D'Amico Ryans talk more glowing about somebody on that roster than he did right there for Kamari Lassiter? Will Anderson, Azeez Al-Shaair, Jalen Petrie at times. those are the guys that he gushes over. Those are his guys, and Kamari Lassiter is now one of his guys. Now, talked about tackling. This team, amazingly for a team that is so good defensively and so physical, this is why that swarm mentality is so critical, and for this team in particular, because they tackle with a group of guys. They don't tackle very well. Like, they have a pretty high tackle, a missed tackle rate. The Texans defense has recorded the second highest missed tackle rate in the NFL this season at 16%. Like, they're missing 16% of their tackles. Yet, opponents, once the tackle is missed, they only add on 5.2 additional yards to those missed tackles. That's sixth fewest. So they miss tackles at the second highest rate, but the yards after contact or after missed tackle is sixth fewest in the NFL. And that's why it's so important to tackle in gaggles or in prides or in groups or in schools. What else, babes?
Murders.
Oh, God. What is that?
Crows.
Crows. Oh, sons of bitches.
Of course.
Oh, can you say that? Yeah, you can say that. You can say that. Yeah, crows. Murders. You're good. Murderers?
No, just murders.
Murders.
Or it's called a murder.
A murder of crows.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right.
I don't know any other ones that you didn't. Did you say pack? Herd?
I didn't say pack or herd. Those are too simple.
Yeah.
I went highbrow.
You did. You went.
Of animals.
You went with the.
Do you know what a group of flamingos is called?
Not a flock?
No, I don't think so. Unless my wife lied to me last night. Yeah, this is correct, according to Google. Google would never lie or filter out information. Flamboyance.
A flamboyance?
Yes.
Makes sense.
Joe George, for instance, would be a flamboyance of flamingos.
Producers? Yeah.
When it comes to tackling, you know who do you think is the worst tackler or has missed the most tackles on the Texans?
I mean, it's a little anecdotal because it just feels like in big spots he's missed a tackle here or there, but I'll go Henry Toutoua.
Nope.
Okay.
Good guess. This guy's missed three games, and he actually leads the team with 16 missed tackles. Jalen Petrie.
Yeah, I was going to say Petrie.
Eighth most among all defenders. I think a lot of that because he has to do a lot of tackling in space.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah.
He tackles a lot with his shoulders. He's an unbelievably physical player. So I don't know that he's a bad tackler as much. See, this is why context matters so much in football and sports in general. Like, he's missed the most tackles on the Texans with 16 most, and that's eighth most amongst all defenders. Therefore, he is a bad tackler. Or we can have some context and know the way that Jalen Petrie plays, know the way that this Texans defense plays, and know the position that he plays and that he's tackling in space quite a bit and is chasing guys all over the field being asked to do a lot. Now, that doesn't mean like, hey, you're excused from making tackles. It just means those tackles are not your run-of-the-mill average type of tackles. Like, there's tackles that happen in the middle of the field for linebackers where guys aren't going anywhere. Once you meet them, if you wrap up, they're going down. There's no room to like put on a juke. Like, there's contact will be made. Some of the toughest tackles that Jalen Petrie is making, just making contact in and of itself is the hardest part of the tackle. Once he gets hands on you, he can bring you down, but can he get his body on you? Can he get his arms around you versus just throwing his shoulder into you because he's in space? And you mentioned that Henry Toutoua play. What was that play in particular? What was it, the Broncos?
There's a Broncos one against Harvey. There's a Bucks one where he could have wrapped up on Baker on that long scramble.
Okay, that was
down.
A missed tackle. Yeah. The one I'm referencing, you know, a lot of fans don't really want to think about or talk about like what goes into certain plays and why and how it's so tough. But Harvey's has the ability to essentially be a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Out of the backfield. And when he comes out of the backfield, Henry Toutoua's got to keep his feet moving. He can't stop and drop the way that he did. But also, Harvey's can go inside, he can go outside, he can stop, or he can go deep. So, like, he's got four options against a linebacker that isn't really known for his pass coverage ability. So, like, kudos to Sean Payton in that moment to get that matchup if it was intentional. Like, just a hard situation, just context, that's all. Yeah. I'm not telling you it's an excuse or that Henry played that play properly or the best that he could. But, it's a very tough situation. That's all.
Yeah, I was just thinking of a guy who plays a lot, and I can remember some missed tackles from him. But, yeah, they are it is interesting. They are a swarming team, but they will miss a couple tackles here and there. And I think some of that is from like the aggression that they have. They're like so aggressive that they kind of overplay the ball carrier sometimes.
Yeah, you don't want to it's like overreactions. It's like, oh, I didn't overreact. Well, by definition, if you overreact, it's a negative thing. Like you don't want to be. You don't want to over pursue against someone like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. You want to pursue properly. You want to react properly. You want to hit at a rate of speed to where you're not going so fast you bounce off of them. Like Newton's second law is whoever going faster is going to win that. You know, he's going to kind of bounce off or force that momentum the other way. And if you don't wrap up and bring someone down to the ground, you just hit them hard, you're not actually doing anything. Like you need to be able to go into that ball carrier under control. You know, sky the eyes, foot far, hit, as coaches would say. Pretty good, huh?
I like that.
Yeah.
I
mean, that's how you need – you can't just hit hard and hit aggressively and hit with a whole bunch of momentum. But that's why this defense with that swarm mentality is so important, because they do have some guys that play a little bit out of control, but in a positive manner when you have guys with backup. And that's cool. Did you see Derrick Henry was asked who the hardest hitter was?
I did see that. I thought about bringing that up when we talked about Petrie.
Jalen Petrie was his answer.
Yeah. When he does get a hit on you.
Oh, you're going to feel it. Like,
that's basically what Derrick Henry said. He was like, it was like some play that he specifically was remembering where he got hit. He didn't see who hit him. And he was like, damn, who hit me like that? Right. And it was Jalen Petrie.
There is no greater compliment to a defense, win or lose, like outcome independent, than the offense knowing that they just played the Texans defense on Monday. Like, there's no greater compliment than knowing, like, we just had, like, a knockdown, drag out. Yeah. We just got our asses whipped physically by that defense. No matter what happens, like, that you want to know. You want the other team to know that they just ran into you.
And personally, as a fan, That is like the type of team I enjoy rooting for the most. Is the like
is pain it in, though?
I like no.
I think okay. Hold on.
Elite
let's pause,
defense.
Let's do this after the break. Yeah, I think this is a great conversation.
I like the elite defense.
You say that. Okay, we're gonna talk about this after the break. What is the best type of football that you want to root for? What type of football team do you want your football team to be? And don't come at me with some BS. I just want them to win. I don't care how. No. What brand of football, what identity do you want your football team to have? Get locked in. You can call in. You can text in. You can chime in on Kicking It with Kunkel. 713-780-3776 is the phone call. I'm Will Kunkel filling in for Dell here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Del Olalea.
No Del. Will Kunkel here. Babes, I'm trying to send you this number of Rob, and I just called Rob by accident, so hold on.
That's when multitasking goes wrong, but not
it's
that
It's like
wrong.
The one, we're coming back from break. I'm like, hold on, I'm not ready for this.
Yeah.
I don't think I sent it to you. Texted him the time. All right, so Rob Collins covers the Kansas City Chiefs with I believe the Fox station out in Kansas City. He's going to join us at 11:15. He's going to give us an update on this Chiefs offensive line and how banged up they truly are and how much of an impact that's going to have, because the Texans are not the team that they want to see with an offensive line that is banged up. The defensive line for the Texans, if no matter what list you look at, if Will Anderson Jr. hasn't created the most pressures, it's Danielle Hunter. And if it's not one of those two guys, it's Myles Garrett. For instance, Will Anderson Jr. has generated 36 pressures on third down this season. That's nine more than the next closest guy. Nine more on third down, 36 pressures. Number two, Myles Garrett at 27, who might win the Defensive Player of the Year. Will Anderson Jr. has also generated the third most quick pressures in the NFL this season. 30, thanks in part to his 0.79 second average get-off speed, which ranks seventh fastest time. He has improved so much in just his now third year? Is that
Yeah.
Third
this year
yeah.
Three. Yeah.
He's generated the fourth most pressures in the fourth quarter this season with 22. Danielle Hunter, one spot behind him with 21. So that's why I say if this Texans team gets a lead and you have a lead in the fourth quarter and you have the two best pass rushers, the two best, not the best, the two best pass rushers in the fourth quarter going after Patrick Mahomes, that's how they win games. That's how they pull away in games as well. And maybe we don't have to have a heart attack down the stretch. All right, let's go to the phone lines. By the way, if you guys want to call in or text in, let me know what kind of football team do you want your favorite football team to be. The number is 713-780-3776. Wood, he figured out how to use his phone. What's up, dog?
Yes. Yes, sir. Now, this is what I want my football team to be, and this is what DeBico has decided to do, is build that defensive line and control that defensive line and just dominate it. I mean, Will Anderson and Hunter is beautiful what they're doing, but the key to this defensive line is when Autry is in there, Edwards Jr., when you got the other big boy, I think he's Simonia. I can't remember his name. I can't pronounce it anyway. But when you got those defensive linemen that's coming up that middle and then putting that kind of pressure and heat, and then you have an end that's collapsing on them, that's what – when you control that defensive line like that, that's what makes championships. That's the reason why we're able to win and take over games the way we have. That's the reason why we also lost games. The teams who we lost to, the Rams, Tampa Bay, Seattle, they defensive linemen in that middle were pushing our guards all around. And CJ had nothing to do but get out the pocket or get sacked because he couldn't come up and move up in the pocket or slide in the pocket because the offensive line was collapsing because they're soft up the middle. But once when CJ went down and you had Mills in and then you brought big Trent Brown in as a right tackle, I mean, and you move Howard into the guard position. That's the best lineup that we didn't have so far because now we're able to have somebody who can at least be decent as a guard to hold up a little bit. And what CJ learned during this whole altercation when he was off is that he watched Mills. He was going to his first receiver. He wasn't trying to go my second, third receiver. He was getting the ball out of his hand quick and getting it out before they can get to him. So CJ, the three games he was watching, he realized, okay, I'm not going to sit up here and try to be Tom Brady like the offense coordinator been trying to teach me and Nick Casario been trying to make me be. I'm going to get this ball out of my hand. My offensive line is going to hold up at least long enough with Trent Brown and Howard in the middle where at least I can get my first or second receiver and get out the pocket, and he was able to move up a couple of times and slide within the pocket. So now we have an opportunity because the teams we're playing now, they don't have no strong defensive linemen in the middle. We can beat those teams. And that from this point on, I see no reason why we can't go to the Super Bowl.
Hell,
there's
yeah,
nobody in front of us.
Dance, baby. Wood, good call, buddy. I appreciate you. Man, that's a hell of a rant. That's a hell of a phone call. Usually you get the phone calls like,
Wood came with something.
My man knows ball. My man knows what time it is. Yeah, yes, he's 100% right that the reason they win games is because they control the line of scrimmage on the defensive side of the ball. And when they don't win games, is because they have the inability from stopping the defending team, the opposing team, from controlling the line of scrimmage. But that's because that's the way this team is built. But that's also the way you win football games. Like, you win football games by winning games in the trenches. But you also got to be able to score. So, like, would you rather your team be the Houston Texans with an almost inept offense? Yes, they're getting better, but for argument's sake, the narrative of the season has been bad offense, elite defense. Or would you rather have a high-flying, fun, exciting offense like the Bengals when they went to the Super Bowl or now have a piss-poor defense? Like, would you rather have the greatest show on turf with the – was that the St. Louis Rams?
That was the St. Louis Rams.
St. Louis.
Back in the day.
Man. Or would you rather have a strong defense like the Texans have?
It is like, if you have to be elite in one thing, I want to control the line of scrimmage. Like, that's the, like, thing I like watching the most is my team's defense just shutting down the other team's offense because football is like a very, you know, it's a physical game.
Physical alpha male sport.
And that is the way where you are like, yeah, we're the yeah, biggest alpha males. Yeah, like we're slapping our helmets after plays. Like that is, it just speaks to my soul in a way that, you know, like, obviously it is fun to watch Joe Burrow go out there and just dice
that's
up
what
teams.
I'm saying. Do you want a quarterback that throws 450 with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins?
The flip side is, though, their defense is so pissed
off. I mean, it's so bad.
Yeah, so that,
their defense is far worse than the Texans' offense is bad.
Yeah, it's hard to get, like, the perfect analogy to it, like the flip side of the coin, because teams are all a little different.
But that's why I say this is what I will bring umbrage with what Wood said, and I bring this up all the time, and this is something I believe wholeheartedly. Yes, you need a good defense to win, but defense doesn't win you championships. Good football teams win you championships.
Yeah.
Whether you do it with offense or whether you do it with defense, it doesn't really matter, so as long as whatever the lesser side is good enough. It's good enough to do its part. It's not a detriment. It's not taking away from you. So I don't care if you do it the way the Texans are doing it and you are heavily defense. So, like, we, for instance, this is the number one defense in the NFL. It is the best defense in the league, and it's the most consistent defense in the league. But it's not good enough. It's not good enough to win a Super Bowl. Why? Not because the defense isn't good, but because the offense isn't good enough to help the defense. I said coming into the season that I thought the Texans' defense could be the best in the NFL. I thought that the offense would actually have to be better than it has been for it to be the best, but it's been so good without the offense. And the reason you usually need a good offense to help your defense, I thought the defense would be top five regardless. I didn't think that they would be number one with such a bad offense. But you need that offense to win you field position games, you know, so you're defending long fields versus short fields, to win the time of possession games so you're not on the field all the time. Which, by the way, crazily, I don't know if it's still the case, but a few weeks ago, let me look it up. They were the number three team in the NFL when it came to time of possession, the Texans were, despite not being able to get into the red zone and certainly not able to punch it in. They still are. They're the third-ranked team in the NFL behind the Bills and Chargers with the time of possession game. They win the time of possession game with 32 minutes, 11 seconds. Certain games, it's better than that. It's certainly better than that. I guess that's the idea of the average. So, like, they're doing their job at the minimum of staying on the field for as long as they possibly can without actually scoring points. It's almost impressive. It's like that line in the breakup with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston. They meet up at the end of the show, and he's kind of lost some weight, yet he has no muscle on him whatsoever. He's like, you know, what I've done is actually quite impressive. I've actually managed to lose a whole bunch of weight without having a single ounce of muscle on my entire body. It's kind of what the offense has done for the Texans. They're maintaining the ball. They're doing their job in that regard, but they haven't actually put on some muscle. They haven't actually scored a whole lot of points, which would go a long way in helping this defense really play their style. Because if they got a lead, holy hell, if they're rested and have a lead, that's why I did this rant on Kicking It with Kunkel, that this is the team to watch out for the Texans. And I'm not really trying to be a homer. I do think that it's a lot harder said than done. But if this offense figures it out or figures it out enough, I don't think they're ever going to figure it out. I just don't think that the offensive line is good enough. Now, maybe this unit is it. To be fair, we kind of got to restart this whole evaluation process on the offensive line because it's another offensive line. It's another iteration in week 14. No team are you reevaluating in week 14 except for the Houston Texans offensive line, which is weird. So we're now reevaluating to see if this is the right iteration of the offensive line. And if it is, then will that allow Nick Caley to be better? Will Nick Caley allow this offensive line to be better? Will he put this offense in a better position? Someone on the chat chimed in and asked, do you think Nick Caley's got anything up his sleeve or up his sleeve for this?
Careful.
Or up his anything.
Careful where what things are up and in.
Yeah, where, you know, Nick Caley's been up something a handful of games.
Yeah.
He's had his head somewhere, too, a couple times in games. I don't know. I don't think so. I think the plays that he has that are sneaky and tricky are cool when they work. And that's kind of those plays in general that it's like, yeah, that's a great play call when it works. Like the end around to Nico Collins. I don't, I don't hate the play call. I don't love the play call, but it works. So, like, hell yeah, let's go. And I just think there's better ways to get Nico Collins the ball. But if he likes that, then let's do it. You know, he's a great wide receiver. But this offense, it needs to just be good enough for this defense. And that's why the Texans are a Super Bowl contender with the help of offense. But that's my general point, is that good teams win, not great defenses, because you got to have three phases of the game, and your special teams cannot continue to give up touchdowns. If the special teams give up a touchdown in this Chiefs game, forget about it. It's over. You're not going to be able to overcome it. Chime into the show. Call in. Text in. It doesn't really matter. ESPN Radio, 975-925-713-780-3776. Good call, Wood. You know ball. I appreciate you. Will Kunkel filling in for Dell. We'll be right back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.